Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for coming. As I said earlier, we are the Sisters of Reparation to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. We're from Steubenville, Ohio. Please be seated, everyone. And we're here today to talk to you about God's highest attribute, His divine mercy. We are in the time of mercy now. It's Divine Mercy Sunday. And so we're going to explore the five ways to worship the Lord's mercy. And we're going to look at the promises that He associated with each and every one of those ways. There are five promises. There are promises, multiple promises that come with each of the five ways. Now, the confessionals are open during the entire time of the talk, so feel free to get up at any time and go to confession if you'd like. We had a question too. We're going to do the talk, and then after the talk, remember to have your intentions ready because we will say the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for your intentions. And then we will have benediction. Father will bless us with the benediction, and then we will have the veneration of the first-class relic of St. Faustina. For those of you who brought things that they wanted to touch to the relic or you have a special prayer request, we'll bring it up at that time. We'll take up a love offering, and then Father is going to follow with his usual plan of Vespers after that, okay? So just so you know. We're going to look at the theme of trust today, and why we are called to trust in Jesus, and why it's the essential ingredient that we need to have in our times. Saint Faustina writes in this diary, "The angels are lost in amazement before the mystery of divine mercy, but they cannot comprehend it. Everything that has come from the Creator's hand is contained in this inconceivable mercy and this inconceivable mystery. That is to say, the very depths of His tender mercy." So just remember, as I tell you this story, the angels cannot comprehend the mystery of His mercy. So let's listen to an extraordinary story of mercy. Poland, during World War II, suffered more death than any other nation during the war. 25% of its population was killed. It was in Poland that the Nazis built Auschwitz. That's where they had the deadliest concentration camp, all of the medical experimentation, and the gas chambers. 1 in 6 Jews were killed in the Holocaust died in Auschwitz. The commandant of the camp in Auschwitz's name was Rudolf Hess. Those who survived the camp called him the animal. He presided over the extermination of 2.5 million prisoners in just 3 years. Another 500,000 died from disease and starvation. 1 year after his tenure came to an end, Rudolf returned to Auschwitz to oversee the execution of 400,000 Hungarian Jews. We know Catholic saints like Maximilian Kolbe and Edith Stein or Benedicta of the Cross, they both died in Auschwitz, so we have our own Catholic saints. One day, the Nazis went out to round up some priests. They went to a community of Jesuits, and they took them to Auschwitz. There was only one who was not there, and it was the superior of the house. He came home and saw that all of his brothers had been taken prisoner, and he said, "I have got to go and be with my brothers. I cannot let them suffer alone." And so somehow he snuck into the camp. He snuck into Auschwitz. Needless to say, the guards found him, and they took him to Rudolf Hess. The guards thought that Rudolf Hess was just going to pull out his pistol and shoot him. But for some unknown reason, Rudolf Hess let this priest go. When the war ended, Rudolf Hess was captured, tried, and convicted of crimes against humanity. And he was sentenced to death, and he was going to be hung in Auschwitz. So the pit that he dug, he was going to fall into himself. That's from Psalm 57. But until his execution, he was going to be held in a prison in Wadwiki. Wadwiki is the birthplace of Carol Watiwa, the future Pope St. John Paul II. Haas was extremely afraid. He was not afraid to die, but he was afraid to be tortured. He was afraid he wasn't going to be able to handle all the torture that the guards were going to inflict on him. How great was his surprise when the men, the guards, whose wives, daughters, parents, and grandparents had all died in Auschwitz, treated Rudolf Haas with basic human respect. He could not understand it. And this was the moment of his conversion. The guards treated him with mercy. Mercy is the love that we know we do not deserve. Rudolf Haas did not deserve their forgiveness. He did not deserve their goodness nor their gentleness, and yet he received it. Haas was a cradle Catholic. He had grown up in the southern part of Germany, but he had abandoned his faith for Nazism in his youth. Now, at 47 years old and facing his death, he asked the guards for a priest. He wanted to confess his sins before he died. But it was not easy to find a priest who was willing to listen to the confession of Rudolf Haas. The pain and the wounds from the war were still so fresh. The time of his execution was coming closer and closer, and the priests were saying, "I can't face Rudolf Haas." Finally, Rudolf Haas remembered the name of the Jesuit priest that he had let go from Auschwitz. And he wrote the name down and he asked them to go and find the priest. And the guards did what he asked. They found the priest and his name was Father Lone, Ladislav Lone. Guess where he was? At the Shrine of Divine Mercy that is run by the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy, St. Faustina's Order in Krakow. Father Lone agreed to go see Rudolf Haas's hear Rudolf Haas's confession. It went on for hour after hour after hour. And finally, Father Lone said to Rudolf Haas, "Rudolf, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace." The next day, Father Lone went back to the prison to give Rudolf Haas the Eucharist before he died. And one of the guards said it was one of the most beautiful moments he had ever seen in his life. The quote, "animal kneeling with tears in his eyes, looking like a little boy, receiving the most holy Eucharist before he was to die." This is unimaginable, incomprehensible mercy that God has for us that the angels cannot comprehend. I have to admit, when I first heard this, I scratched my head and I thought, wow, the Lord's ways are so much higher than our ways. You mean to tell me that I got saved? Wow. You mean to tell me that if I've done something that bad, I can be forgiven and saved too, no matter what it is? And finally, if the Lord Jesus can forgive someone like Rudolf Haas, I have no right not to forgive the people that have offended me. No matter who it is not my place to be angry or to judge them. My only job is to forgive, because we have to show mercy in order to obtain mercy. So I ask you, to whom should you be showing mercy? If you want to overcome the trials in your life, the trials of your family, those who are far from the church, if you want to help your town, your nation, and the world, start with mercy. Show mercy yourself. We've got to stop judging and start showing mercy. So, Now let's take a look at these five ways of mercy that God gave us and put them to work in our lives. The first one we talked about this morning, and I'm going to talk about it again, it is the Feast of Mercy. It's the greatest gift that Jesus gave us. And I'm saying it's the best gift. It's like you're getting your dessert first. I liked having my dessert first. So we'll talk about the divine mercy first, right? Jesus talked about the Feast of Divine Mercy 14 times in the diary. More attention was given to Divine Mercy Sunday than any of the other devotions. Why so much attention on the feast? I mean, we just celebrated Easter, didn't we? Isn't that the greatest feast in the church? The Lord Jesus answered this question himself when he told St. Faustina, "Souls perish in spite of my bitter passion. I am giving them the last hope of salvation. That is the feast of my mercy. If they will not adore my mercy, they will perish for all eternity." Did you pay attention? Did anybody go to Mass, Saturday morning Mass? Did anybody hear the readings from today? Yesterday morning's readings were about when Jesus rebuked the apostles because they didn't believe St. Mary Magdalene, and they did not believe the two apostles on the road to Emmaus. He rebuked them and said that they need to believe what they were being told. And to today's readings, do you know that today's readings have been read every Divine Mercy Sunday, every Sunday after Easter since the Council of Trent in 1545? Do you think the Lord wants us to realize all about his mercy? He says, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, whose sins you retain are retained." And of course, today's readings were about doubting Thomas, were they not? Do you think his response was one of trust? I don't think so, not at first, was it? So we have two wonderful examples of the Lord's mercy. Jesus said to St. Faustina, "Tell souls where they are to look for solace." That is the tribunal of mercy. The confessionals are open. The tribunal of mercy is the Lord's confessional. There the greatest miracles take place. It suffices to come with faith to the feet of my representative, the priest, to reveal to him one's misery, and the miracle of divine mercy will be fully demonstrated. Were a soul to be like a decaying corpse, Rudolf Hoss, so that from a human standpoint, there would be no hope. It is not so with God. The miracle of divine mercy restores that soul to the full. That is the grace of Divine Mercy Sunday. Jesus created the Feast of Mercy to help us focus on his highest attribute and take advantage of it and to be purified. We sisters look forward to this feast day every year because we get to start all over again. Now let's listen to what Jesus said about the Feast of Mercy and the promises of the feast. Okay, let's hear about the promises. He said, "My daughter, tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I desire the feast to be a refuge and a shelter for all souls, but especially for poor sinners. On that day, the very depths of my mercy are open. I pour a whole ocean of graces upon the soul who will approach the fount of my mercy. The soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment." If you were at the 11 o'clock Mass, you saw that little beautiful baby getting baptized. That's the quality of your soul. It'll be that shined up. "On that day, the floodgates through which graces flow are open. Let no soul fear to draw near me, even though its sins be of scarlet. Everything that exists comes forth from the depths of my tender mercy. Mankind will not have peace until it returns to the fount of mercy, the confessionals and the Eucharist." Perhaps a lot of us have heard this, but remember when he says, "my daughter," he's talking to each and every one of us. He's not just talking to St. Faustina. This diary is meant for each one of us as much as it was meant for St. Faustina. He says, tell the whole world. He didn't just say, tell every Catholic or tell every Christian. He said, tell the whole world. And now there are Divine Mercy images in every single country around the world in less than 100 years. And this diary has been translated into over 60 languages. Jesus wants his message of mercy known. He calls it a refuge and a shelter. I don't know how many of you have been around a tornado, but when you find yourself near a tornado, you dive for a shelter. Look around you. Do you feel like our civilization, our Western civilization, is on the verge of destruction? Is the sanctity of life in grave danger? Is the bride of Christ, the church, in grave danger? Are our children and grandchildren in grave danger because of all the things that they are exposed to these days? Pornography by the age of 11, this transgender and LGBTQ agenda, these children need to be protected. It is the divine mercy that is going to protect these children. Is the institution of marriage in danger? Is the belief in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament in danger? The answer is yes. And the answer to the problem is the divine mercy. The promises that are made. So again, the soul that goes to confession and receives Holy Communion today or this weekend gets complete forgiveness of their sins and punishment due to sin. There is a professor, his name is Ignacy Rosicki. He was the theologian appointed to review, for Pope St. John Paul to review this diary back in the day. He said that Divine Mercy Sunday is a greater grace than any plenary indulgence. He said it's the most special grace, greater than all the six sacraments except baptism. Since the sacrament of baptism, it gives us forgiveness of sins and all punishment. You have to connect it with Holy Communion received. And so all of us have heard about that today. Jesus raised this day to the level of a second baptism. When I lived in Texas, I had a friend of mine. His name is John. He was a highly successful attorney. And he had a son who was also a highly successful attorney. Unfortunately, his son got into drugs. And John was a Catholic, but he didn't know about the message of Divine Mercy Sunday. So I said to him, John, why don't you just come with me to Divine Mercy Sunday and let's venerate the image and we'll pray a chaplet and we'll pray for your son. His son's life was beginning to deteriorate. His job was starting to go downhill. You know how drugs can take over and it can ruin anything you're trying to do. So John agreed. He came with me to Divine Mercy Sunday. We venerated the image and we said the chaplet of Divine Mercy. And his son, who had no intention of changing his life, called his father on Monday and said, Dad, I can't take it anymore. I got to check myself into rehab. This is the power of the Divine Mercy and the power of Divine Mercy Sunday. The second way of worshiping the Lord's mercy is this image that we have here. The Lord revealed the image to St. Faustina on February 22nd in 1931. February 22nd is the Feast of the Chair of Peter. He's talking about the primacy of Peter and this church, our Catholic Church. He's wearing a white garment. If you look at this image, like Father talked about earlier today, he's showing us that he has risen from the dead. He has conquered death. And on the last day, our bodies too will rise. And we have to realize that. His right hand is raised in a gesture of blessing. You can see, as Father talked about earlier in the Mass, the marks of the crucifixion on his hands and his feet. He's wanting us to know that he suffered and died for us, and he's got his hands raised in a gesture of blessing because he wants to know he is blessing us. And he is in a walking position. He's coming toward us like the father was running towards the prodigal son. And from beneath his garment, you see two rays. One is red and the other is pale. Those denote blood and water. The pale ray stands for water, which makes a soul righteous. This means baptism and confession. The red ray represents the Eucharist. Do you see how he's tying the Divine Mercy image into Divine Mercy Sunday with the sacraments? He's bringing it all together for us. And below you see the words, Jesus, I trust in you. One of St. Faustina's confessors tried to change the words to Christ, the King of Mercy. And Jesus said, no, it's to read, Jesus, I trust in you. The most important word in this statement is trust. The second most important word is I trust. We have got to be saying, Jesus, I trust in you until we believe it ourselves. I told you this story of the little girl over in Ireland. She was having night terrors, and Mother Wendy was teaching the class. And she told every little child, here, take this message, take this little image and put it by your bed. And we didn't even know this one little girl was having night terrors. So she did. She did exactly, I think they were third graders. She put it on right by her bedstand. And she was waking up in the middle of the night screaming at the top of her lungs. And her mother used to go in and try to console her. Well, one night, sure enough, the little girl started screaming. This was after she had the image. And her mom opened the door, and the little girl had stopped screaming and picked up the image. And she looked at it and she said, oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. She set the image back down on her bedstand, put her head on the pillow, and fell sound asleep and never had another night terror again. This is the power of the Divine Mercy image. Okay, and trust, let's look at trust. St. Faustina says, trust was her lifelong attitudes toward God. When Jesus appeared to her, scourged and bleeding, when she went to a dance when she was 18, if you've read the diary, you know that she was denying her vocation. And he appeared to her, scourged and bleeding, and said, how long must I put up with you? She got on a train that day to Warsaw with only the clothes on her back. And she had to wait an entire year before she was able to join the community that she was meant to join. But she made it a habit to trust in the Lord's mercy. And when the Lord said to her, I want you to write this book, she complained. She said, I only have a third grade education and I don't even have a good pencil to write with. And he said, never mind, I will handle everything. And so she developed the habit of trusting in the Lord's mercy. Jesus says, knock and the door will be open to you. Seek and you will find and it will be given to you. We have to take the first step towards the Lord, and he will take 100 steps to us. I don't know if any of you know, like if anybody grew up on a farm and they had oxes, and you know how you have to hit an ox sometimes with a little whip to get it moving? You know, the dumb ox image. Well, I was one of those dumb oxes. I'm a lay vocation. I was a highfalutin banker living in Boston, flying back and forth to Wall Street. And it took some severe trials in my life before I reverted to my faith. And I got back into the sacraments in a big way. And look what the Lord did for me. He gave me the most exciting life you could ever have. He made me a religious sister. That's inconceivable mercy right there. It helps all of us if we're living the Ten Commandments. If you are a married person and you have children, teach your children about the faith. If you are grandparents, teach your children how to say the rosary. We were in Alaska, and there was a little boy up there, and he said, my parents don't take me to church at all, and I can't wait for the summertime when I get to go see my grandparents because my grandma taught me how to say the rosary. And we were in the chapel, and we were talking about Our Lady of Fatima. And the little boy, and we said that Mary appeared to these little children. He said, sister, if I pray in the heart enough, will Mary appear to me too? And we thought, of course she will in some way or another. But do you see the power of parents in teaching the children of the faith? I can't tell you how many people we have come up to us and said, I didn't raise my kids in the faith, and now they're all in trouble. Teach your children the faith, and grandparents in particular, you have an awful lot of power. If you're single, do something for yourself. Join a third order. Go on a spiritual retreat. Bring the Lord into your life. Jesus said to Sister St. Faustina, I demand from you deeds of mercy, which are to arise out of love for me. You are to show mercy to your neighbors, always and everywhere. You must not shrink from this or try to excuse or absolve yourselves from it. I am giving you three ways of exercising mercy towards your neighbor. One is by deed, one is by word, and one is by prayer. Deed, word, prayer. In these three degrees is contained the fullness of mercy. So there's the formula, deed, word, and prayer. And it is an unquestionable proof of love for me. By this means, a soul glorifies and pays reverence to my mercy. The Lord made great promises attached to veneration of this image. He asserted that a soul that will venerate this image will not perish. So I ask you again, why do you not have this image in your home? He promised great progress on the path of spiritual perfection. He promises you the grace of a peaceful death. How many of us wouldn't like to know and trust the fact that we're going to have a peaceful death, as well as many other graces as long as people are showing mercy? In 1938, St. Faustina wrote in her diary, "Today I saw the glory of God, which flows from the image. I saw souls receiving many graces, and the effects of Satan and of evil men are shattered and come to naught. In spite of Satan's anger, the divine mercy will triumph over the whole world, and it will be worshipped by all souls." Just one last story about the power of the image. I don't know, in 1992, has anybody been to Florida or from Florida? I'm from Florida. And I remember in 1992 when Hurricane Andrew went through and it wiped out all of Homestead, which is south of Miami. 730,000 homes were destroyed. There was only one home that was not destroyed. And it was a family that believed in the divine mercy. They put the divine mercy on their front door. And when they returned to their neighborhood, their house was the only one left standing. If you want to, you have got to trust in the divine mercy and have the image in your home. It's something we all need to have in these times. The third way of worshiping the Lord's mercy is the chaplet. The Lord Jesus gave the chaplet words to St. Faustina in September of 1935. On Friday, Sister St. Faustina had a vision of an angel who came to the earth to punish it for its sins. When she saw the sign of divine wrath, she began to implore the angel to hold off for a few moments and the world would do penance. She felt the power of Jesus in her soul, and she began to pray the chaplet. And listen to her words. "As I was praying in this manner, I saw the angel's helplessness. He could not carry out the punishment which was rightly due for sin." So we need to be saying the chaplet of divine mercy. When we sisters are stuck in traffic, we pull out our beads and start the chaplet of divine mercy. Without fail, the traffic starts moving. It's true. You've got to have your rosary with you. By saying the chaplet, we ask for mercy on the whole world. So when the Lord is asking you to do works of mercy, say the chaplet and you're bringing grace into the world. You're bringing hope into the world. When we say the text of the divine chaplet of divine mercy unchanged, you are performing an act towards your neighbor. And it is a precondition for you to receive mercy for yourself. What are the promises that the Lord makes? He promises, "It pleases me to grant everything that people ask of me by saying the chaplet, as long as it is compatible with my will." So if you're a daredevil and you're asking for a motorcycle, you might not get it. But you will ask. It helps if you ask for spiritual graces, right? Or maybe you're applying for a job that's not right for you. Or women are trying to join a social club where there's a lot of gossiping going on or something. The Lord may not allow you to do that, but he will give you other graces. The Lord promised at the hour of death, he will defend as his own glory every soul that says the chaplet. It says the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. We sisters are called all the time saying someone is dying and someone and ask us to say the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. You don't have to be by the person's bedside to say it, but if someone is dying and you know it, pick up the beads and say the Chaplet of Divine Mercy for them, and you're doing the greatest act of mercy you can, because it protects their soul. Because when you die, you go through fear. And so you can do a great act of mercy and a great act of grace. When the chaplet is said by the bedside of a dying person, God's anger is placated, and an unfathomable mercy envelops that soul. Do you see what power you have to help your fellow man? He said, even if a sinner were most hardened, if he were to recite the chaplet only once, he would receive grace from my infinite mercy. We do missions all over the country, and in the past we did this mission down in Louisiana, and there was this drug dealer, and he had his own business card, and he was selling his drugs. Well, it turns out he contracted came down with four-stage throat cancer. Another friend of ours went to the hospital, and he took a scapular and he threw it over his head, and he said, if you die with this scapular on, you're going to go straight to heaven. Well, the scapular doesn't work exactly like that. You have to live, you have to live the way the scapular was intended, handed down by the Blessed Mother. But anyway, two sisters went to visit him in the hospital, and they walked in, and they were at the bottom of his bedside, and he was sound asleep. And when he woke up, he says, oh my God, it's true. He thought he went to heaven. And our Mother Superior said, no, 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 no. I'm sorry. You're still here. And let me just tell you, you have two choices. You can either change your life, give up your drug lifestyle, stop drawing other people into sin, confess your sins and get back to church, or you can choose to die. What is your choice? And he burst into tears, and they said, will you say the Chaplet of Divine Mercy with us? And so he did. He cried and cried and cried, and there's a big burly guy next to him, and he goes like this. He says, if he converts, I'll convert. And so they said the Chaplet of Divine Mercy with him. Now remember, he had stage 4 throat cancer. He promised he was going to change his ways. We don't know if he did or not. Saturday, the sisters were there visiting him. On Monday, he walked out of the hospital. His throat cancer had been healed. Now, this is the power of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Okay? The fourth way is the hour of mercy. Jesus said to St. Faustina, I remind you, my daughter, that as often as you hear the clock strike 3 o'clock, immerse yourself completely in my mercy, adoring and glorifying it. Invoke its omnipotence for the whole world. And particularly for poor sinners. For at that moment, mercy was opened wide for every soul. Jesus died on the cross for us at 3 o'clock, and he wants us to remember his mercy, his act of mercy for us. He said, if only for a brief moment, remember my passion, especially at the time that I abandoned my soul on the cross. Meditating on the Lord's passion brings us closer. It helps us to adore him and to understand him more. So first of all, it has to be at 3 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. It's at 3 o'clock, remember? Second, you have to just address the Lord directly, and you have to invoke his passion. So we sisters, you don't have to say the chaplet at that time of day. If you've only got a minute, we go into the chapel and get on our knees and say, Lord Jesus, in memory of the blood that poured forth from the crown of thorns and the pierced side, we ask you to please have mercy on the person, this person or that person who called. Someone's dying from cancer. Someone's got this illness or that illness. Please pour your mercy upon their souls. Just remember him at 3 o'clock. In the Philippines, we understand they set their alarms for 3 o'clock, and the alarms go off, and everybody stops what they're doing, and they briefly say a prayer. And if you do that consistently, you can ask the Lord for all the graces that you need, and he will give it to you. You have to be patient, but keep asking. Persistence pays off. He says, in this hour, I will refuse nothing to the soul that makes a request of me in the virtue of my passion. I'll tell you a story. This one is has anybody seen the movie Sully? It was about that airplane that went down in on the Hudson. Okay. That is the Hollywood version. Do you know that there's a Divine Mercy version? There was a man by the name of Fred Beretta. He was from North Carolina, and he was a banker. And he had to fly into New York City for a meeting. He got there, and he was there early, and so he decided to clean out his briefcase. It was February. And as he's cleaning out his briefcase, he comes across a booklet that is about the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And he remembered that he had made a promise in January, which everybody promptly forgets their New Year's resolutions, that he was going to get himself in better spiritual shape. So he opens the book, and he follows along with the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. He didn't even really remember it. And it just so happened it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So he said, the chaplet. The next day, he gets on an airplane that was flying out of LaGuardia that took off, and at 3,900 feet, they hit a flock of geese, and the engines exploded. And so here he is on the airplane, and he's thinking about his 4 children at home, and he's hearing over the loudspeaker, strap your belts on, put your heads beneath your knees, we're going to go down without the engines. And he was with 155 other people. The plane became eerily quiet. He was all alone. All of a sudden, he checks his watch and he said, what was that booklet I was reading about yesterday? What was that? What was that? And he remembered the 3 o'clock hour. Over the loudspeaker, the pilot says, prepare for impact. And with every fiber of his being, he said, with every fiber of my emotion, I said, Lord Jesus, please have mercy on us. And he began to say the chaplet. In the history of aviation, there has never been an airplane that landed in water where there were no fatalities. There were no fatalities. Fred Beretta says, you can believe it was the pilot, but I'm going to tell you that it was because I invoked divine mercy on at 3 o'clock, and it was not only for me, but it was for everyone on that airplane. This is the power of the divine mercy, and this is the power of the chaplet. The fifth way is spreading the message of divine mercy. That's what we're doing right now. Jesus says, souls who spread the honor of my mercy, I shield through their entire life as a mother does for her child. And at the hour of death, I will not be a judge for them, but I will be their merciful Savior. He said, speak, proclaim my mercy, for it is a sign of the end times. After will come the day of justice. He wants each and every one of us to be an apostle of his mercy. I have to tell you one more story, and then we'll close. Because this is a really good... Are there Irish people here? I'm Irish. Are there Irishmen here? You know, the Lord really likes to play tricks on the Irish, and he laughs while he's doing it. In Ireland, there was a man by the name of Brendan O'Neill. He was a very, very successful businessman, and his mother had a complete and total devotion to the Divine Mercy. For her whole life, she had been trying to get him into Divine Mercy, but he was really busy with his job. And he lived in the western part of Ireland, okay? His mother gave him the Divine Mercy book, and he kept it in his duffel bag, where he had all of his golf clothes and all of his business papers, and he threw it in there. And for some unknown reason, he never did this, but he wrote his name on the inside cover of the book. So he goes into Dublin, and his car is stolen. And his car is stolen, and he gets his car back, but the duffel bag and his computer and all of his golf clothes and everything are stolen out of it. Like 2 weeks later, he gets a call, and there's this neighborhood of homes, and there are hundreds of homes in this neighborhood. And the guy on the phone calls him, and it's a friend of his, the only person in all of Dublin who knew him, and the duffel bag had been thrown over the wall into his backyard. And the only thing in the duffel bag was the diary of St. Faustina, the one that his mother had given him with his name in it. And he'd never put his name on anything. What are the chances that out of hundreds of homes, that goes into the one guy that knows him? So he says, I think I better start paying attention to this divine mercy. But he didn't. Once again, he got busy with all of his work. And so he goes back home and he's doing all of his work. So he's called back to Dublin. Once again, his car is stolen. He calls the guards to report that his car is stolen, and this time the guards say, well, we've located your car, Brendan, but it's been burnt to a crisp. There is nothing left in the car, but it's really, really strange. There was one thing that survived. And Brendan is like, don't tell me. 2,000 degrees that car got to, and everything inside burned it, except for one thing. The pages were singed down to the words, but not a word of the diary was singed. Brendan O'Neill is now the greatest apostle of the divine mercy in all of Ireland. He gives books out right and left. So if the Lord wants you to do something, I suggest that you don't ignore him. And you ask him what it is that he wants you to do. A lot of people don't like to be speakers. They don't want to get up in front of us, in front of a group and talk. This is what St. Faustina says. When we discern God's goodness in what we're doing, no matter the task. So how many of us discern what is the goodness in what we're doing? And by discerning the goodness in what you're doing, you are giving an example to all the people around you. Because you're living mercy. Even if you're suffering a painful trial, in your greatest sufferings, God is there, and he is there with you, and he is asking you to take the suffering and turn it into compassion and turn it into love for your fellow man. And that is how we show mercy. We need now in our times to be showing mercy, to be living the message of divine mercy. And we need to be keeping ourselves by going to confession regularly, staying close to the sacraments, and ask the Lord to show you what it is that you should be doing for him in the world now. The power is in our hands, and we need to use it. We need to use it for our families and for ourselves and for those that we love and for our country. Pope St. John Paul wrote, at no time and in no historical period, especially at a moment as critical as our own, can the church forget the prayer that is a cry for the mercy of God amid the many forms of evil which weigh upon humanity and threaten it. Precisely, this is the fundamental right and duty of our church, to show and to live the message of divine mercy. Okay, I have shown you the five ways. Now what I would like to do is we will pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And then after that, the confessionals are still open. We'll pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. And then Father will repose the Blessed Sacrament. We'll have veneration of the relic of St. Faustina. And while we're doing the veneration, we will be playing our CD, so if you get a chance to listen to it, this is our rendition of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and you're welcome to buy that. Thank you all so much for your time. Please be seated. Again, Father is going back into the confessional for anybody who would like to have their confession. Right now, in order to support our ministry, we're going to take up a love offering. This will help us to continue to spread the message of divine mercy, especially to those places where they really can't afford to fly us in. There's poor parishes in Ireland and in Idaho. So whilst the sisters are just passing the basket around, I'm going to tell you a story. You know, I've been spreading divine mercy for the last 25 years, and so I've seen many, many miracles that have happened. And just one personal story. I was in California with a group of nuns, and I don't know why I have this quirk, but I like the way, I like to see when the dial of the gas in the car hits almost E. And I thought to myself, because I don't like to waste time, so I thought to myself, you know, I'm in California, I better get gas, and even though the dial was on half a tank. And the sisters are saying, what's wrong with her? She's pulling into the gas station on half a tank. So I pulled in, and I'm pumping the gas, and this Spanish-Mexican gentleman runs up to me, and he says, sister, would you please pray for me? I have fourth-stage cancer. I'm afraid I'm going to die in about 6 months. The doctors don't know what to do. Would you please pray for me? And I said, sure, what's your name? And he says, Moses. So I said, Moses, I think we came to California just for you. And I said, would you come tonight to our mission on divine mercy? And we'll pray the chaplet. And well, you can venerate the relic of St. Faustina. He says, oh, sister, I haven't been in church in 35, 40 years. They'll throw me out. And I said, no. Nuns don't throw out anybody out of church. So he says, well, he tried to make excuses. And I said, Moses, just come. So he came with his wife. And we had this big mission. And he heard the talk. He prayed the chaplet. He venerated the relic, and he went to confession after 45 years. And I was standing outside, and he comes rushing out, and he says, sister, I am a changed man. I have never been happier. So he took my information, my phone number. He calls me up in about 3 weeks, or 2 or 3 weeks, and he says, sister, I went back to the doctor, and they can't find my cancer. So between the sacrament of reconciliation that heals us, body and soul, if we really pray to Lord Jesus, sometimes our ailments come from our own sins. And then he was healed spiritually, physically, and he would call me every year and thank me. And he did that for 25 years until he just died last year. And my sisters would say, Mother, it's Moses again on the phone. And he outlived his wife. So that's just one miracle. And the other miracle I'm going to share with you is in Pittsburgh. Sister Grace and I it was a huge church. There was, I don't know how many people. We were in the relic line for 2 hours. That's how many people there were there. And I was tired. And my energized bunny, Sister Grace, says to me after all the people have left, Mother, there's a couple here, they want to have a child, and they just got married, and they're 50 years old. And I'm thinking to myself, does this sister understand biology or not? And then I thought, what am I thinking? This is Divine Mercy Sunday, the Lord could do anything. So, sure enough, we pray over the lady, and on Sister Grace's birthday, that lady had a baby boy, and it had the same color hair as her, red. So I said to the Lord Jesus, I'm going to get Sister Grace back. So the following year, we were in Louisiana, and this lady comes up to me, and before she even came up, I said, that lady wants a baby. And so she comes up to me, I said, you want a baby, don't you? How did you know? And I said, I don't know, it's just the look you got in your face. So I said, we're going to pray that St. Faustina, the Divine Mercy, gives you a child next year. Oh, sister. We prayed the chaplet. And I said, Lord, don't let Sister Grace outdo me here. I said, so Lord, we prayed the chaplet. We venerated the relic. She went to confession. The following year, we were invited back to the same church in Louisiana. And she hands me a baby girl. So with the chaplet and the veneration of the relic of St. Faustina, the Lord wants to exercise his mercy. He's got more mercy than he knows what to do with it. So let's take some. So bring all your intentions up here. We're going to just touch the relic. We're not going to kiss the relic because of the pandemic. So you can touch the relic, present your petition to St. Faustina, and ask the Secretary and Apostle of Divine Mercy which is St. Faustina, to intercede for you on Divine Mercy Sunday for any grace you need. And we're going to be praying our CD right now. It's our personal song. It's our chaplet that we produced a few years back. So we have it on the table if you like it. Thank you for coming, and God bless you.